It's Big Ugly Tailgate, bringing the party to the radio with Casey Studdard at Johnny Rogers, talking sports, food, music, and all things ATX on the horn.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Good morning, Austin, Texas. Wherever you're listening from, you're listening to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at Horn FM. It's your boy Johnny Rogers sitting live in the studio. We've got Casey Studdard joining us via phone at some point here in just a bit. Is Casey, you on with us yet?
I'm here. I'm right here.
There he is. Casey's down at Whitfield's Barbecue, a fantastic barbecue joint down in South Austin at the corner of Davis and Brody. Is that right?
Solid 29 degrees out here right now. Feeling good.
How you staying warm, Case?
A pickup truck.
Are you just sitting in the truck right now?
I'm pulling back into Whitfield's right now. Had to go grab me something to eat real quick. Grab me a couple tacos.
There you go. Where do you go if you're going to get a taco down there? Where are you going? I mean, other than Whitfield's barbecue taco, but where else do you like down there?
Well, you know, Valentin is right down the street.
There you go.
Barbecue spot, but they got some badass tacos there.
Indeed.
What? I like food trucks. I mean. You know, I don't know.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Well, a lot of...
Probably had the best breakfast tacos in Austin.
Is that right? Opinion. Not Texas. Yeah, I'm a Texas Honey Ham guy. Those breakfast tacos, I mean, and you got to wait 30 minutes to get those here over in Westlake. It's fantastic.
Well, I know, because you're a Westlake guy. You guys eat Texas Honey Ham freaking tacos. Like, come on.
Here we go. Not even five minutes into it yet. I'm already getting bashed for... being a fancy Westlake guy.
I'm saying, you're like, where I'm from, we do honey baked ham taco.
Well, I'm not having ham on my taco, but they make a really good breakfast taco if you've never had it. And a good breakfast Sammy.
Is it a dainty Westlake? I'm trying to watch my figure taco.
Obviously.
Or is it like a...
Obviously.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, it's not a fat boy, like... me and Chad taco.
No, it's you know what they do. What's kind of cool, they take the salsa and they put it like into the mix with the breakfast taco ingredients, and they put it all on the grill right there. So it's all meshed together. It's fantastic. I'll bring you some next time.
All right, bring them on, and I'll hate on them for a while.
There we go. got a lot of things going on in the world of sports today. You know, this is a. You know, probably one of the last great weekends of NFL. You know, we got two games today. You got Cincinnati and Tennessee. You got San Francisco and Green Bay tonight, the 7:15 game. Tomorrow you
first
got
game to three, correct?
First game. Three? First game's at 3:30. Cincinnati at Tennessee. And you know, there's a lot to be said, and we'll kind of get into that. But you know, I think the biggest topic of conversation this week going on in Austin, at least, is the big news. It is official that Gary M.F. Patterson is a full-time Texas football analyst. Casey.
That hurts your pride.
Well, we can kind of get into that.
It hurts your pride to admit it. You were really mad at first.
Well.
Deep down, you're a Longhorn fan, so you're like, yeah, let's get to Texas.
Here's what it's like to me. Now, let's not forget that Gary Patterson was fired at TCU, okay? Gary Patterson didn't retire. He didn't walk away. He was fired at TCU, okay? And so it's almost like you dumped your girlfriend, and then you see her with, like, the rich dude down the street type situation, and it's in your face, and that's all that everybody wants to talk about is the ex-girlfriend, right?
Facial.
So I get it, and so I guess my question to you, Casey, is as a as a Texas fan and a Texas alum, what do you expect with the hiring of Gary Patterson? Like, what is your level of expectation? Like, what is Gary Patterson going to do for the University of Texas?
You know, I think he's going to...
Now, he's not a full-time coach. He is an analyst.
I think he's going to be the type of coach because he's played against him. And the thing is, though, is when you talk to a head coach, when he's a head coach compared to when you talk to a head coach when he's not a head coach,
yep,
they're different people. I mean, it's not that they're different people. They just – they can put their guard down a little bit and really be, like – really truthful with you. You know what I mean?
Sure. But now in my mind, and again, the last couple years of TCU football, and I followed it pretty closely, has been pretty disappointing for TCU. And it was the right move for TCU and Gary Patterson to have this breakup, so to speak. Okay. You know, it kind of run its course. And don't get me wrong, what Gary Patterson did for TCU can never be outdone by any school. That guy saw TCU through three different conferences all the way to the Big 12 and put TCU in a position where everybody across the country knows who TCU is. And a large part of that, I'd say about 95% of that, is because of Gary Patterson and who he was. That was our identity at TCU. I mean, can you name three football players that went to TCU other than Andy Dalton and LaDainian Tomlinson? You, Casey Stutter, can you name two other players in the last, 15 years?
I can, but...
maybe.
I don't remember at this time. Who's that receiver? I can't remember that damn receiver's name.
Well, we've had Jeremy Curley, we've had Josh Doctson.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, Jeremy Curley was the man. He's one of my all-time favorites, but
if he went to Hutto, right?
Correct, the Hutto Hippos. He led them to a state championship. In fact,
yeah. No, I went up to Hutto one time, and well, my uncle lives. They used to live up there. All my cousins went to that high school.
Me and my boy Chesson used to go at those games. And when Jeremy, the most exciting play for TCU back in those days was going and watching Jeremy Curley return punts. He was electrifying. Anyways, I digress. But back to Gary Patterson and all that. He was TCU's identity for the large part, and that's great. You know, he ran the show. It was Gary's way or the highway, and he coached hard. He was out to prove to everybody that TCU and maybe Gary Patterson were underrated, and that we could perform at a high level, we could compete with the bigs. And we did for a long time. I'll put up TCU's record against anybody's, especially Texas's, over the last 10, 15 years. But
yeah, definitely put that up against Texas. But really, what did y'all win?
Rose Bowl?
Bowl internship?
Multiple BCS games? Beat Texas, I think, 8 out of 10 years? Or...
Well, I know you beat Texas. Texas was shit, was crappy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I saved myself, didn't I? That was pretty good.
Yeah. Don't worry, Chad's got the mute button ready to go.
I think just flicking around there.
Yeah.
No, Texas has sucked. Absolutely. I'm not talking about the just between Texas and TCU. I'm talking like TCU's won what? They went to the Rose Bowl and won that. That's it, though?
Yeah.
One undefeated year.
Yeah, had the greatest season of all time, led by one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of college football, Andy the Red Rocket Dalton.
Give it to him, Johnny.
Dang right. But here's my take on it, and you know, I'm, as you know, I've become more of a Texas fan in the last year just because I got the opportunity to work with some of those coaches and I've gotten to know them really well over the last year, and I just don't think that. Texas is getting the Gary Patterson that everybody thinks they're getting, right? Gary's not out trying to prove himself anymore. He's already proved himself. So to me, it's, does Gary become a distraction to that defense, to Pete Kwiatkowski and the defensive staff because here's
I've been talking about this last week. No, he's not doing that. Like that has nothing to do with it. He's going to come in there and develop players. That's what he wants to do.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with being a distraction. PK is not going to have to look behind his back, anything like that. He's going to come in and he's not going to sabotage Texas. He's going to
Ooh, there's a thought. Do you think maybe this is just Gary pulling the ultimate prank on Texas and just going to come in and just destroy everything?
Well, I mean, that's what y'all are hoping.
No, I'm not hoping for that. I truly do hope that this is a good addition for the Texas Longhorns, because to me, when Texas is good at football, this city, Austin, Texas, is such a more fun, you know, place to be. I mean, all my buddies are going to be, if Texas can win, all my friends are going to be excited. People are going to buy more real estate. Well, if that is assuming that there is real estate to purchase. I mean, there's just lack of inventory and all that. But it's, to me, when Texas is good, when Texas is good at football, this town is one of the greatest places in the world. I mean, it already is, but it's like then everybody's in a good mood. Everybody's getting along. You got a couple disgruntled Aggies running around. Maybe a few TCU Horned Frogs that are like, eh. But I'm excited. I think it's a weird move. I know what you're saying, Casey, but to me, it's just a weird move to bring in the former head coach of a I don't even want to say a right
head coaches every year that get fired.
Yeah, every but it's a rival.
A couple years and they're gone.
But it's a rival. Like, how do you, like, you know, other school, like, I don't see, you know, in other states and other places, you're not bringing
Saban's coaching tree.
What's that?
Saban's coaching tree. He has so many coaches that come through that are head coaches.
Yeah, but he's not hiring Auburn's coach.
Huh?
He's not hiring Auburn's coach.
Texas is not a rival with TCU like that.
Well, you're right, because Texas hasn't been able to beat TCU in 10 years.
Texas A&M thing. That's it. Those are the rivalries in Texas. Texas and Texas A&M.
Well, TCU-Baylor is a pretty solid rivalry, too. But
no, it's not. Between, what, 20,000 people? You know, like, I'm just saying, like, the big rivalry, it would have to be Texas or Texas and Texas A&M.
But you guys haven't played in 12 years or 15 years or whatever it is.
What I'm saying, but it's still, that's the rivalry.
Oh, or maybe right. Texas OU. Call it that. I'll at least say that. But here's a question. Would Texas ever bring in somebody from Oklahoma? Would Texas ever bring in Bob Stoops to run a defense?
Bob Stoops wouldn't do that.
Well, then what does that tell you about Gary?
Gary has ties down here. It tells you about Gary. Gary always wanted to be a Longhorn, and he hated purple. That's what tells you about Gary.
Well, he does have ties down. His
purple anymore. He's like, God, put some burnt orange on me, please.
Yeah, his beautiful wife, Kelsey, was, in fact, a recruiting girl here at the University of Texas in the late 90s. So there's definitely some familiarity, too. And you know, she's obviously a Longhorn, and that's great. But I don't know. To me, it's just a weird feeling. I don't know how this is going to play out. I hope it does work well.
I think it's more weird for you because you got so much invested in Gary Patterson.
Well, sure.
Or whatever.
He's led my alma mater to heights that we never even thought was possible. But that's what I'm saying. I don't know if. And now here's the thing: Gary Patterson will not be on the sidelines. He will not be in the press box.
I told you that he ain't going to be. It's going to be nothing to do with that. He's literally going to be like he's going to do a scouting report on all these players that should be better than what the hell they are, and he's going to tell them about it and give them ways to fix it and show them ways to fix it and stuff like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I see.
Well, and I also, you know, I don't know. I just see one thing I think that you're going to see, if Gary Patterson has any influence on this Texas football team, one of the things that you're definitely going to see is you're going to see some athletic skill position guys on the offense moving over to defense. Okay? Because that was one of the biggest things that Gary did at TCU was that he would take guys that
he could see potential in guys at different positions than they're used to playing. Right? He would take a running back and turn him into a linebacker. He would take a wide receiver and put him in at safety. Okay? Gary Patterson, what he is brilliant at is putting kids in the right positions, not, you know, for them to be successful. I mean, you look at, take for example, back in the day, we had a football player named Matt Schobel, right? Matt Schobel was a big-time quarterback out of Columbus, Texas, who ended up going to Texas A&M as a quarterback, although I know the University of Texas recruited him as a tight end, but he went to A&M, and when he got to A&M, they were like, you should be a tight end. And he was like, no, I want to be a quarterback. So he transfers over to TCU. Gary puts him at tight end. And guess what? He plays in the NFL for 8 years, 8 to 10 years.
Yeah.
So
see, that's just that's that connection that Gary can get to somebody and be like, no, you need to play this. Like, that's the whole, like, you know, breaking a kid down. I mean, that's the genius part about Gary.
Right.
But the crazy thing is you get some of these kids like, no, I'm now with the transfer portal and all this crap, you know, these kids now, I'm a five-star. Like, I'm a wide receiver.
Right.
Meh.
And then they spend the next couple years in and out of different schools trying to figure out where exactly they're supposed to be. I mean, these coaches are coaches for a reason. They're good at what they do. They've seen people come through before. And Gary is absolutely the master of it. Now, my question, too, is does this affect recruiting? Right? Can Gary Patterson, because what he was brilliant at was taking those 2- and 3-star guys and coaching them up to become 4- and 5-star guys. So will he be in the process with Sark and the staff as far as evaluating high school football players to target that, guess what, may not usually be the typical Texas football recruit? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's what I was. I was a 3-star guy. Lyle was a 3-star guy.
Right.
All those 5-star guys aren't starting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Mac told me, too, when I first got to Texas, he said I was playing off because I was an All-American D lineman and All-American offense lineman, like vice versa, my junior and senior year in high school.
Right.
I mean, I was junior. My junior, I was defense, offense, my senior year. But when I came to Texas, I was playing both. And Tolly wanted me bad, but Mac brought me into his office. He said, Casey, I think you'd be a hell of a defense alignment, but I think you'll be a great offense alignment. And then we're in, like, literally like a week later at practice, someone rolled an ankle and I never looked back. But it's one of those things, you know, some of these coaches can sense it, you know?
Right.
I don't know. It's weird, but I think, you know,
I just want Texas to stop feeding off of TCU. I mean, you stole our AD. Okay. Del Conte, you stole Del Conte. You tried to get Schlossnagel, I'm sure, a couple years ago. You went after Sonny Cumbie. You know, flew everybody down to go get Sonny Cumbie. That didn't work out. So what is it like? I mean, what are we, a farm system for Texas now? Is that what TCU's turned into?
You're a redheaded stepchild.
Jeez. I walked right into that one.
Yeah, you set that one up easy.
Yeah. But seriously, like, just, you know, leave TCU alone. Let us be who we are. You know, that's all I got to say on the topic.
Tell your alumni, hey, you're alumni. Go put some more money in the bank in there. Go donate. Go make that field be Johnny Rogers Field.
Yeah, I don't. There's a few more people up in Fort Worth with a little bit more cash that could probably get that done than they don't want.
Well, money talks.
You know, I might be able to get like a. You know, like a little lion statue outside the SAE house up in Fort Worth named after me, better than, you know, the football stadium or the football field, but whatever.
Well, that's a start.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, well, hey, Casey, we got to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn. We'll catch you here in a few minutes. Welcome back to the Big Ugly Tailgate. Appreciate you listening, whether you're listening in Florida, Kerrville, North Carolina, Iowa, wherever. Thanks for listening.
Who in the hell in Iowa is listening to this show?
Oh, good longtime listener, Ryan Revere up there. He lives up in Des Moines, is I believe what they call it. And
Des Moines.
He's getting pretty snowy up there right now.
Yeah, they got big deer up there too. Speaking of deer.
Corn fed.
Speaking of deer, we need to go shoot some deer, Johnny. But
yeah,
out of the element, isn't it?
What kind of shotgun do you use to kill deer?
God, I hate when you ask those questions.
When is deer season? Are we already into it?
Yeah, it's almost over. It's January. I think it's just MLD tags right now.
Okay. What does that mean?
That's it.
Is that mule deer?
They're basically on ranches. You get extra tags to maintain your herd.
What is the hunting season going to, what has it been good? I mean, what are the reports coming out of the ranches?
They shot some big deer this year, but it's now just getting cold. So a lot of places, the rut started early. So like up there near like Oklahoma border, kind of, North Texas or whatever.
Gotcha.
Their rut started so damn early. By the time, it was, even before the end of the year, before Thanksgiving, all the damn deer are broken off already because they've been fighting the whole time chasing.
Gotcha.
Chasing does.
Well, one of the, we can get a little bit into about the NFL. We got some good games coming up. First game I want to kind of get into is the Cincinnati-Tennessee game. Now, we haven't seen Tennessee in a minute because they had a bye. And so now you've got, Joey B has got those Bengals going. What do you kind of see happening in this game? I mean, have the Bengals already peaked? And I'm kind of leaning towards the Bengals, but maybe that's just because Tennessee's been out of sight, out of mind. What do you see happening today in Tennessee?
I know, Tennessee's big boy football or whatever. I like Vrabel's team, but I don't know. I think there's some sneaky stuff going to happen with, I like that defense. I like that, that combo of wide receivers with Burrow. Burrow's just, he's too calm. I mean, he's a calm, he doesn't get freaked out. And I like that about him.
Yeah. He's got some poise.
Yeah, he has some cojones.
Yeah. Well, and if you look at, what the Tennessee defense does, they don't really blitz a lot. Now, they're probably the second best defense in the NFL, but in my mind, the only thing that really, if you give Joe Burrow some time, he's going to pick you apart. He is that good. He is that cool under pressure. So to me, does Tennessee have to kind of change what they do to combat that, or is it vice versa? Do you see, I think Cincinnati just comes out and just tries to just attack, right? I mean, he's got so many weapons. And then you look at on the other side, flip side of that, Tennessee's offense. I mean, you got Derrick Henry back. Is Derrick Henry going to be the Derrick Henry that we all knew and loved during fantasy football?
What, do you have 900 and something yards through week 9?
Yeah, it was something ridiculous.
Dude, he was on his way to beat the record, man.
Oh, no doubt. He was going after Dickerson's record.
And that's big boy football. He's a big old boy too. And for him, to go after Dickerson's record like that, I mean, he was right on track. He's gonna break it bad.
Correct.
And
now it's gonna be cold.
With today's football, you don't see running backs taking it over like that. You know what I mean? So it was sad for me not to be able to see, because I like to watch a good game of just O-line just dominating and a running back just pounding people. I mean, for me, that's fun to watch.
So you got, it's going to be cold down there. So, and not that, but Cincinnati's a cold place. So I don't think the weather is going to be as much a factor in this game. But we'll see. Should be fun to watch. And then you go to let's go San Francisco, Green Bay. What about your boy Shanny? What is he going to do? Can he upset Green Bay? I mean, it's going to be, I think, -10 degrees windshield up in Green Bay for this game tonight.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be cold.
Oh, so cold. Hey, real quick, did you see what Charles Haley tweeted? What did
he say? I think I saw it. He popped up in my thread, but what did he say?
Here, I'm trying to pull it up real quick. My hands are frozen. I can't even touch my phone.
Well, you need to get around that pit and warm it up.
I'm trying.
But
all right, here we go. They're talking about. Where in the heck did I see that? Did I send it to you, or did someone send it to me?
No, I think you did. Okay, basically, Charles Haley said that you can't have a running game when you ain't got offensive linemen to block for you, and they knew that going into the game. If they didn't know that the left guard and center suck, then they were blind. That's Charles Haley's on the Cowboys coaching.
Yeah, you sent me that.
Yeah.
No, I sent that to you. I don't know. Anyways, yeah. I was like, wow.
Yeah, let's get into that a little bit. You know, the Cowboys, how did last week go for you, Case? What did you think about that Cowboys game? I mean, you know, to me, that final play.
I told you how the Niners are going to whoop that ass.
Yeah.
And I was talking so much mess to all these Cowboys fans coming up to the trailer on Saturday. And they're like, come on, Casey. But I gave them that scenario that you talked about. Fire McCarthy's ass, hire Dan Quinn.
I think it's the move.
That's the freaking move. And I got back here and I was thinking about it, and I was like, well, like, McCarthy's kind of like a whiny little bee, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
So,
well, there's nothing that gets me excited about Mike McCarthy as a football coach. Like, you know, it's he's not calling plays. Kellen Moore is calling the plays. So what is Mike McCarthy really doing? Game manager? Because he doesn't really know what he's doing is clock management. I think that was evident to every Cowboys fan when you look at the play call that he had at the last play of the game. That was the riskiest play call he could have ever done. Now, granted, if Dak actually hands the ball to the referee rather than hand the ball to his center, he actually might have gotten that done. And you still have one more shot to kind of make it into the end zone. But, God, as a Cowboy, if you're a Cowboys fan, the end of that game had to infuriate you. Just absolutely make you go crazy.
Oh, yeah. But for McCarthy to come back out and still defend, like, come on, McCarthy.
Well, he's probably defending his job. I mean, Jerry's not happy right now.
Uh-oh.
Now, he hasn't come out and flat out said, you know, Mike, you're fired. But you got Dan Quinn, you know, going around the country now, interviewing for all these different head jobs. And if you're Jerry, you better make some decisions real quick.
Because yeah, Dan Quinn about to be a Bronco, baby.
Hey, that would be a hire now.
Heck yeah.
You know. Bring a DQ, maybe, and Wink Martindale just stepped away. Him and the Baltimore Ravens just separated right there. And he had a long time in Denver as the defensive coordinator. I mean, you put those two guys together on the defense. That's a heck of a tandem.
Well, heck yeah!
But you know, we'll see. I mean, Denver's got a whole bunch of issues going on.
But
I think that would be a good hire. But back to the Cowboys.
Sorry.
I don't think that, you know, I don't know. I think that game left a bitter taste in a lot of Cowboys fans' minds. You know, how do you – if you let Dan Quinn go and not McCarthy?
For McCarthy to say he has the most disciplined team when you – he's like, all those pillow views don't mean – it's like, what are you – are you smoking crack?
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, come on.
Maybe.
You're clearly delusional.
Wakes up, hits the pipe. I don't know. I mean, I just, to me, again, Mike McCarthy is not the leader of men. Right?
I love how you say that. Yes, you're right.
And to me, I mean, let me ask you, Case, would you be inspired to play for that guy? He doesn't even know what to do for clock management.
No, I never really. I don't see him like that. Yeah.
Are you? I mean, who's?
I don't see him as exciting. You're right. No, I don't. If I'm just trying to think as a player.
Who was your head coach in Tennessee? Or who's your head coach in Houston? Was it Kubiak?
Yeah, Coach Kube is a badass.
Yeah. That's the kind of guy that could inspire, you know, a team. You know, that guy, you know, knew what he was doing. You know, could I would think, it seemed to me like he could really relate to a lot of the players. And players wanted to play for Kubiak.
Texas boy. Him and his wife, both Texas boys. You know, Texas kids.
Right.
He's a Texas boy with A&M. I mean.
Unfortunately.
I didn't even think, you know.
That may be the only knock on Kubiak.
They're so Texas when Rhonda and Gary had their kids, she flew back to Colorado, flew back to Texas, so all the kids are born in Texas.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's how Texas Kubiak is. His wife.
But, yeah, so I don't know. I think the move here, as I talked about last weekend, is you fire Mike McCarthy, you promote Dan Quinn, you keep Kellen Moore as your offense coordinator. Because Kellen Moore is getting an interview or two, but he ain't getting a job this year. He ain't getting a head job. So
no, not after not even hitting CeeDee Lamb. Like, what are you doing with your passing game?
Mm-hmm.
Well, your O-line was, I don't like dogging on Longhorns, but come on.
Yeah. Well, and real quick, getting back to that San Francisco Green Bay game, how much pressure you think's on Aaron Rodgers right now?
Oh, it's gonna be he's gonna be a Bronco. He's gonna be a Bronco next year with Dan.
Yeah, here we go. Could be.
And because the 49ers are going to beat him tonight.
Well, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing, you know, Aaron Rodgers in his last three games against San Francisco, he's 0-3.
That'd be 0-4.
Yeah.
I'm a Shano fan, so I root for Shano.
Yeah, and the other thing too is that, you know, Rodgers is, you know, Rodgers is dealing with a lot right now. He's kind of like the talk of the NFL, and he's dealing with all this COVID stuff. And his opinions, and
that's his wife's influence on him, you know.
Oh, you think so?
She's like a laid back person, so she seems like a hippie to me.
Well, she's California actor, yeah.
I think he's just kind of getting that, like, I don't know, he's just kind of relaxing a little bit more, I guess.
Well, I don't know. I mean, towards the end of his career, I mean, let's face it, he's probably got about another – I mean, shoot, you can't even say this anymore. I would say he's probably got another, you know, 2 or 3 years, but this day and age, he might have 5.
Well, I know, especially the way it's cupcake league now, you know.
Yeah, can't touch the quarterback.
Can't touch him. Oh, my God, he just hands brushed my face mask. If I was a head ref, a quarterback started saying something like, stop being a pansy.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I think Green Bay is too good. I think Aaron Rodgers is too good. I think he's just going to light up San Fran. I mean, I don't see this being a blowout, but I don't really see this. I don't see San Francisco beating Green Bay in Lambeau in -10-degree weather. Jimmy Garoppolo, is he going to be – are you going to take Jimmy Garoppolo over Aaron Rodgers? Really?
No, I'm taking Kyle Shanahan over because, you know, LaFleur was Shanahan's.
Like, oh yeah, wasn't he his underling in the Redskins?
Yeah, from he was with him from Tampa all the way to. I mean, he was with him in Texas with me.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so LaFleur's been really getting after it, you know, studying the game. Look at, he's doing a great job in Green Bay, but you do have that quarterback. But, I'm taking Shanahan. I'm taking Debo in the running game against that Packers defense in a cold game like that.
You know, looking at some stats here, Jimmy Garoppolo on play action passes he's ranked first in the NFL in completion percentage, yards per attempt, and he's 5th in passing rating. And so, to me, I think it's pound the ball to Debo, set up the play action, get the ball downfield. I'm not saying that they're going to beat Green Bay.
That's their offense, though. That's their offense. I mean, they led the league in rushing yards.
Right.
The 49ers did. So that's their offense. They pound you with the rock, and then as soon as you come out of that coverage, you start trying to stop the run, he's going to hammer you
with some play action.
And as soon as he gets those linebackers and safeties biting, it's over.
Yeah,
he's going to get his. And the key is, can Jimmy G make that throw? You know what I mean? Can he make that throw and hit somebody? Because Kyle's going to scheme it open. You know, he's going to find your third best player and wear his ass out all night.
Yeah.
Stop it.
All right. Well, we shall see. And then we've got – what other games we've got tonight? And then tomorrow you've got Bills-Chiefs and Rams-Bucks. Both will be fun to watch. That Bills-Chiefs game is going to be really interesting to me.
Yeah, that's a game you can't – they're both – I mean, they're so evenly matched. I don't even know who to pick.
Yeah, I mean, Buffalo, they did play early this year in Week 5, and Buffalo won that game. So to me, you know, it's just harder to beat a team twice, right?
I agree.
And you know, you've got – anytime you got Patrick Mahomes on the field – you better tackle him. That's all I know. I mean, you better get him to the ground and not let him run, because if you let Mahomes, you know, run around a little bit, he's going to torch you every single time.
Yes.
But Josh Allen, I mean, Josh Allen, like, here's what I love about him. He came out in that cold-ass game last week not wearing any sleeves.
And slung that thing.
Yeah. I mean, he looked like the opposite of Connor Williams. He wasn't wearing any sleeves.
Yeah, Connor had sleeves on. Did you see him at the end of the game?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God. You don't know how many people text me? I had so many offensive linemen text me. Oh, look at y'all soft-ass Texas kids crying after a game. You got your ass whooped all game. Now you're going to be crying.
Was he crying?
Yes.
Stop.
He was on one knee crying.
Stop.
Sorry, I don't mean to hate on people like that, but.
Yeah, it was a very emotional game.
I had ten people text me.
Oh man!
And these are non. There's only one Texas guy that texted me. That was Bo Scaife, and he was like, "Oh, soft ass."
Wearing sleeves, crying is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's what he was doing, Casey. Maybe he was wearing his sleeve so he could dry his tears after they lost. Well, hey, we'll get into that Bills-Chiefs game as well as Rams-Bucks here in a minute. We got to take a quick commercial break. You are listening to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn. Welcome back to the Big Ugly Tailgate. You're listening live here on the Horn, live local digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Feel free to shoot us a text, 512-337-3776. Johnny Rogers live in the studio here, joined by Casey Studdard, who is live via remote at Whitfield's Barbecue. Casey, what is going on at Whitfield's today? What do you got on the grill today?
Well, it's colder than the well digger's ass right now. But... we got everything. We got chicken, turkey, ribs, jalapeno cheese sausage, beef sausage, brisket, pulled pork, all our sides, banana puddings, cobblers, big sandwiches, big tacos. So, yeah, we're rocking and rolling.
All right. Wait, did you say you had a kolaches this morning?
We will have brisket kolaches this morning.
Yes. I think I'm going to head my way down to Whitfield as soon as we're done here at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
What time y'all open up?
Nice, there's no wind, you know. So
yeah,
it was a little chilly, but they said today it's supposed to warm up a little bit quicker. So you know, around 1 o'clock, you know, it's like 55 degrees with no wind out here. It's actually pretty nice in the sun.
Yeah.
So y'all come out. I'm gonna put the TV up and have some games on.
Yeah. So go down to Whitfield, pick up a bunch of barbecue. Go back. We got NFL action on today. 3:30 p.m. game. You got Cincinnati versus Tennessee, and then the night game,
Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers taking on Green Bay. Up in Green Bay, the weather is supposed to be minus 10 degrees windshield.
Let's go, Shano, baby!
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, I was very impressed with Shanahan last weekend. You know, he out-coached Mike McCarthy.
Oh, yeah. No, they should have that game shouldn't have been that close.
Correct. I mean, Garoppolo throws a late pick that really kind of puts Cowboys back into it.
Do you realize they were on a 6-minute drive and they started on their own 10-yard line? They just got to like the 50-yard line and they already had the ball for 6 minutes, just pounding. Well, and then Garoppolo goes over there and gives him a prayer.
And we all know the formula for winning football in the month of January is run the ball and defense. So that's kind of, to me, that's what really leads. That's what makes me think Tennessee has a big advantage over Cincinnati because they've got that ground and pound and that defense. I mean, Vrabel's one of those guys. I mean, he's a man's man. That guy, I'd love to play for him.
Yeah, because you kind of get nervous if you're, you know, you want to go with Cincinnati because what if Derrick Henry comes back and he runs for like 185?
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, because he has that possibility. We don't know how he's going to be coming back off injury. No one knows.
Well, and I
be a little sluggish.
And I think
he's not
that
sluggish and comes out there and starts pounding. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Well, I mean, to me, what I've just been so impressed with Joey Burrow. Joey B has got. I mean, they've got so many weapons at wide receiver. They've got a good running game, but really that team goes as Joe Burrow goes. So it'll be really interesting. One game we really haven't gotten much into, Rams-Bucks and how that game's going to play out. You know, to me, the hard part for the Rams, or excuse me, for the Bucks is they might be playing without Wirfs, their tackle, and Jensen, their center. Are those guys going to be 100%? Because the one thing we know the Rams can do is rush the passer.
Well, that ain't good if those two can't play.
Right? And it's not just Aaron Darnold. You know, it's Von Miller. Von Miller showed up last week. I mean,
he looked good last week. Could Von Miller come back to Super Bowl MVP form for this playoff run? Like,
hey,
Von Miller starts showing up like that.
You
can't bet against the Rams.
There was nobody better than Super Bowl Von.
No. I'm saying if you get Super Bowl Von for the playoffs and Super Bowl, only person that can kill you on that team is that quarterback.
Right.
9 picks in the last 2 weeks. I mean, golly. But he had a good game last week, you know, so.
Well, and we know that Tom Brady's going to show up. That's just his MO.
Yeah.
And to me, it's you know, the storyline here is – now, let's also think about this. The Bucks have, you know – I mean, excuse me, the Rams, I mean, their secondary is depleted. I mean, they had Eric Weddle starting at safety last week.
Yeah, he was
on the beach a month ago.
Yeah.
He wasn't doing anything, and they just got decimated with injuries. So that's something to pay attention to. How will Tom Brady, will he be able to attack the secondary of L.A.? And L.A. just, I mean, you look at last week's game against the Cardinals, L.A. just looked, I mean, they were dominant. They made Kyler look silly.
silly.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
I mean, it was, God, it crushed me. I was depressed. Watching the cards like that,
yeah,
you know. But I mean, the good news is you know, bro gets to come home, get to see him and spend some time with him. But you know, I know the Cardinals would much rather be playing this weekend.
Yeah,
but the Rams just looked dominant. Stafford looked great. Cooper Kupp was in the mix. You know, they looked really good.
Really good is Odell Beckham.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Odell, like. All right, well, let's not give Odell anything. So you put your number 2-3 guy on Odell. Odell was eating that dude up.
Yeah, he was. That looked like the Odell that the LA Rams thought they were going to get. I think that was Odell's best game in probably 2-3 years.
If he keeps running routes like he was, and it's it's going to be hard. You're going to have to, you know, you can't, it's going to be hard to beat them. It's going to be on Stafford.
Yeah, I mean, when the Rams traded for Stafford back in March, they were putting together the equivalent of an NBA super team, right?
Yeah.
So they bring in Stafford, they bring in Odell Beckham, they bring in Von Miller. You know, Von really hadn't done that much this year. I mean, still kind of, you know, getting a little bit healthier. But if Von is on, forget about it. Bucks don't have a chance, especially if Tampa Bay is down two of their top offensive linemen.
Yeah, if those two offensive linemen are out, it's going to be hard for me to take. But it's hard for me to go against Tom in the playoffs. But
yeah. Yeah, it's
with those two out, I mean, that's just so much pressure on Tom. I don't know if he can handle that.
Yeah, and, you know, the first game that those guys played, you know, the Rams beat the Bucks. Stafford throws four touchdowns, no picks. I mean, are you going to have that same L.A. Rams team? I mean, are you going to have – what's going to happen there? I mean, do you think Stafford is up for the challenge? I mean, this is the reason – if you're the Rams, this is the reason you get rid of Goff and bring in Stafford, is to win a game like this weekend.
Absolutely.
So we'll see if the Rams, you know, get what they pay for, but they were all in. You know, they went out, they got who they wanted. It was, you know, I was shocked when they signed Odell. That was kind of a late development on their part, but they got him. So it's just, I mean, shoot, it's unfair. They got so many superstars.
Odell's been out of the news, and he's starting to eat a little bit.
Yeah, dude, Odell's hungry, man. He wants it. I mean, he's playing like he wants it. He torched the Cardinals.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is the first time he's ever been in the playoffs and had a chance.
I mean, how crazy is it to think that Odell Beckham's on the field and he's not the wide receiver that the defense is double teaming? I mean, usually he's that guy. He was that guy in New York. And I wouldn't necessarily say he was that guy up in Cleveland because.
But I think what the thing is in Cleveland is Baker's not that guy.
Well, that's a whole another topic of conversation.
Or their head coach just can't seem to make a team play together.
Stefanski.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Baker played the majority of this year injured. He was beat up. He just had shoulder surgery. You know, wasn't at his you know, his prime, but they're done. And I don't know if Baker doesn't have a good year coming up, he'll be out of Cleveland. I'm not saying he'll be running out of the NFL. He's too good of a football player to not be playing. But I mean, if you're Cleveland, you've kind of done the same thing. You've kind of gone all in, and they were banking on Baker being that guy, being that dude. And unfortunately, he was injured, so he really didn't have the opportunity to.
Yeah. So yeah, he's going to have to ball out next year.
Yeah. What else we got going on? What else do you see happen this week, Casey? You've been watching any UT basketball?
No, I know they've been on a three-game skid or two-game skid.
Yep.
You know, it's a new coach, a new system. I mean, you know, I get it. You know, lacking a little bit of offense.
Gotcha.
From what I see, but
well, they finally, you know, it appeared at least via TV. I was not there in person this last game. You know, it looked like the crowd is starting to kind of buy in.
I did hear that. I did hear the crowd is buying in. That's good.
That's good. And that's what Texas really needs. I mean, next year they're going into the new Moody Center over there. It'll be probably one of the best venues in college basketball to watch games, and that's I think that's what's happening here. Beard's trying to get to that next year so he can have the team that he wants and the stadium that he wants, and hopefully the Texas fans will really start supporting that program.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and you're going against people that are seventh year seniors, super seniors, what they call them, you know, teams that have been together. You know, basketball is a team sport. You know, it's a chemistry thing, knowing where people are at, their tendencies and stuff like that. So you see those teams that have those, you know, that have been together for so long, you know, how much more fluid they are than Texas is right now. But
you know, Texas is going to find their stride. It's not that they're a bad team. They're just trying to figure it out, I feel like.
I think you're right. And, hey, we got to take a quick commercial break. Casey, you're going to be off next segment. Is that correct? You got to put some sausage on?
No, yeah, I got to wrap ribs and put sausage on.
Okay, so we'll be missing Casey for the next segment. He'll call back in, but we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll see you on the other side of the hour. You're listening to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn.